Hare Krishna. Welcome all the devotees once again for this month's Parivartan. In line with the festivals which we celebrated last month and also just few days ago, Shri Krishna Janmashtami and Sri Radhashtami. So we thought we would have a topic in connection with Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna, the only worthy master. One time Srila Prabhupada, approached by one disciple, who told him, kind of took a vow, telling Srila Prabhupada that, I want to dedicate my entire life unto you, Srila Prabhupada. I want to be 100% wholesale dependent on you. I want to become your sold out servant and slave. And Prabhupada, out of his modesty and humility, he said, no, I am not worthy of that. Prabhupada said, I am not worthy of that. Whatever you want to do in regards to whatever you just said, the only person who is worthy of that is Lord Sri Krishna. He is perfect. So, when we talk about Krishna, he is a personality, of course, we can speak for ages in regards to how worthy he is, how perfect he is. But of course, we have to understand more than he being perfect, we have to understand how much worthy are we in order to get shelter of such a worthy master as Lord Sri Krishna. I remember at our Radha Gopinath temple, we run an orphanage over there, and children of the orphanage, it's called LNHO, Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage. So it was started by, you know, during the British regime, so old. So the premises, also we have the ISKCON temple, but the that particular premises is called the LNHO, that orphanage. And we have many of those orphans who are residing. And every year they have an annual festival. The orphanage has an annual festival wherein all the children, they put up something, you know, some kind of shows and chanting of mantras and like that. So, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was invited as a chief guest, one of these annual functions. So on the stage, you know, they had the banner, Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage celebrates the annual festival, whatever year. And then all these orphans, we call them Gurukulis, but of course, technically on paper they are called orphans. So all these orphans, they came up on the stage and they were putting up their show, and then Radhanath Maharaj was the guest speaker. So I still remember he began his talk with something very wonderful. He said that herein we are celebrating the annual festival of this orphanage and all these orphans, whom we call them orphans, who have come and, you know, presented, you know, their Krishna conscious involvement. He said, I want to say one thing, that technically, spiritually and officially, these orphans are the most sheltered because they are living under the shelter of none other than Shishi Radha Gopinath. Every day they are attending the Mangalarti of Radha Gopinath. Every day they are chanting in front of Radha Gopinath. Every day they are having Mahaprasad of Radha Gopinath. Anyone else outside of this shelter is an orphan. So the question is, who is really an orphan? Like Prabhupada used to give this example, whenever he would be asked about the Kanthi Mala, he said, this is our dog collar. This is our dog collar. And proudly, Prabhupada would say that, yes, we want to become a dog of Krishna. We want to become dog, but only of Krishna. Because he is the only worthy master who can repay, the loyalty. Dogs are very famous for being loyal. That is the one good quality of a dog. He is very loyal. So Prabhupada used to give this example that, yes, we live in so many rules and regulations. We are looked like as if we are bound by so many rules and regulations. So many, 4 regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds and 10 offenses and 64 principles given by Rupa Goswami, dressing in a certain way, talking in a certain way, eating in a certain way, so many rules and regulations. It's like a dog who is leashed up. But Prabhupada said, and you have a stray dog. As against that dog who has a master. You have the stray dog, a street dog, who appears to be moving around very freely. Especially in India. And those of you who stay in this area, especially will find, these street dogs. It looks like they are having a gala time. Just anywhere they can go, anywhere they can sleep, anywhere they can bark, anytime they can bark. So it looks like, they are having such a free life. Prabhupada used to say, yes, free to go to hell. And Prabhupada also wrote in the Bhagavad Gita, the royal road to hell. Not just any other, road which is not well paved. Royal road to hell. So who is more fortunate? Someone having a dog collar, having a master, and someone apparently having so-called freedom in this material world. So yes, we proudly say, Prabhupada used to also, 15th of August, the Independence Day, Prabhupada would say, yes, we announce to the entire world, especially the Indians, we announce on this Independence Day our total dependence on Krishna. That is our real independence, total dependence on Krishna. One time, there was one villager who was looking for a worthy master. And it's something which was, a very pure intention, looking for a worthy master. So he was going around in his own village that, okay, this person, he has some qualities, he's superior to me. So he started serving. But then he found that every master he tried to serve, every master had some discrepancy, some imperfection. So finally, he found one merchant, very wealthy in his township, and he couldn't find any discrepancy. What he found in others, he couldn't find any discrepancy in this wealthy merchant. So he decided, I'll become his servant. Finally, I'll take this job. So he started to serve this merchant. He became the personal servant of this merchant. And one day the merchant, you know, he threw a party on his birthday, and all of his relatives and guests had assembled, and this new servant was appointed to serve the feast to everyone, to all the guests who had come, beginning from the merchant, because he was the man on that day, his birthday. So this humble servant was serving, he was serving the feast, and then when he was serving, you know, a liquid item like dal, he was serving, it, you know, spilled on the royal costume of the merchant, you know, some drops of that dal, it spilled on him. And this merchant became so angry, "You rascal, you nonsense, do you have any brains? Do you have any culture? You uncivilized brute, you animal." And the merchant was like furious, and he called his security men, "Behead this man, kill him." Few drops of dal, kill him. So now everyone at the party was like, "My God, this thing is turning into a nightmare. What's happening? It's going to be like a bloody party here." So now this servant, he had, like, you know, the pot of dal. So he took the pot of dal and entire pot of dal. Now, earlier few drops, now the entire dal he spilled on his clothes. Guess what would be the reaction now of this merchant? He was speechless. He was so angry that he was speechless. He couldn't even contain his anger. He was like, you know, what should I do? Like, kill you 100 times? But he had a curious question, that why the hell did you do that? You knew that I was so angry, just you spilling few drops of that on my clothes, and now you have spilled the entire thing. How dare? What was there in your mind? So he became curious. You want to know? The servant, he told to the master, he said that you announced my death. You announced that I should be beheaded, just few drops of dal. But I want to protect you. Why? Because after my death, when all over the village everyone will ask that why was he sentenced to death, guess what reason will be given? I spilt only few drops of dal. So I wanted to protect your name, that at least the offense should be big enough. The offense should be big enough and should match with the punishment to make you a worthy master. So therefore I spilled the entire dal. So people should not criticize you that for such insignificant offense you sentenced him to death. These are the masters of this material world. Just one sample of the entire lot. But herein we are talking about the supremely perfect master, the supremely worthy master. So I was going through you know, the dictionary meaning word master, and you have the master's degree in education, you have a master copy of a key or say a record of something, mastering a skill in regards to attributes, mastery over people. Now we see that we all conditioned living entities who have come in this material world. Why? Becoming, trying to become masters. Ishvaroham aham bhogi siddoham balavan sukhi. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that what is the slogan of a conditioned living entity in this material world? Ishvaro aham, that I am the controller. Siddoham, I am the Siddha Purush. Balavan, I am the most powerful. Sukhi, I am trying to be Sukhi. Although he knows that he is Dukhi like anything. So, herein when we talk about masterhood, you know, yeah, people are trying to get the master's degree. Doing the masters in America. He has done masters in this, masters in that. So, you know, everywhere people are trying to become master. I have mastered the skill of whatever, singing or speaking or cooking or swimming or dancing or whatever. I have mastered the skill in regards to attributes. And of course, for what? Ultimately, all of that education and all of those attributes are acquired, achieved to have mastery over people. So we see how from our infancy, this mentality of trying to become a master is so predominant that we want to, first a small toy, we want to be master of that toy. That this toy should function according to my dictates. And the toys are designed like that. You press a button and the monkey starts jumping. And then you again press the button and it stops. And that's how when the child grows up, the child is always that, you know, I dictate, I press buttons and things happen. And then I acquire so many things and it's happening because I have mastered those things or mastered over people. Now, Prabhupada used to say that we had great dictators like Hitler, Napoleon, Stalin, Lenin, great killers. And history books are full of these great dictators and emperors and rulers. That how many people they killed, millions and millions of people they killed. But the question nobody is asking in those history books, who killed them? Who killed them? You know, Hitler. Hitler was one of the most feared tyrant of his time. I was in Germany some years ago and devotees had taken me to the concentration camp in Germany. Dachau, it's called, just the name is very dangerous. You know. Dachau, that's the place. It's a huge concentration camps, you know, like acres and acres. If you know about concentration camps where he had killed in these gas chambers and the vibrations, after so many years and decades, the vibrations of that place is so strong, so much of brutality, so much of killing. And you know, the guide was practically every tourist who was there seeing the concentration camps, they were in tears, just the vibration of that. So much of killing had taken place. One person, this one Hitler. And he was telling that this Hitler was such a kind of a freak that only my clan should live. The Jews or anyone else who is not my kind, my type, killed. So he went to the extent that he would measure the brain, you know, the head, the skull, and if it would not measure according to, you know, his standards, kill him. He is not from our type. He is not a German. kill him. And you know, there were these bunk beds which were put in the concentration camps, and the guide was telling that if the bunk beds, they would not be aligned properly by the carpenter. You know, if one bunk bed would not, would be a little disaligned, the carpenter would be called executed. And the other carpenters were to see that if you don't align these bunk beds in the concentration camp, this will be your hal, your condition. So people would be shivering. And this person committed suicide. Adolf Hitler committed suicide, killed himself. There were like so many, some 10 to 15 assassination attempts. He saved himself. He was not assassinated, although there were so many attempts to assassinate him by his own people. Now, of course, in German, you know, the Germans, they are ashamed of him. We are ashamed of, you know, in our history having such a person. So, Prabhupada used to have these people who like claimed themselves to be masters. But where are they now? Dead and gone. And how do people, they talk about them? Talk about them with so much of, you know, shamefulness about them. So, when we are talking about mastery in this material world, you know, we try to become master of something in comparison with, you know, who is around us. Like in Hindi, there is a saying, Andho mein kaana raja. So in this material world, practically everyone is a pathetic condition, is a pathetic sample, and amongst all the pathetics, one person, he is a little less pathetic. He thinks, I am the he-man. Andho mein kaana raja. But if we compare ourselves with Krishna, then we will come to know hum kitne paani mein. Like Hiranyakashipu. Imagine, a person like Hiranyakashipu. You know, he had mastery over not just, you know, a nation. Not just few thousands or millions. He was the master, the controller. Sanirjita Kakuba Ekarat Vishayan Priyan. He was the Ekarat controller of the entire creation created by Lord Brahma. Even Lord Brahma, Indra, Surya, Chandra, all of these great controllers would tremble and shiver in fear of this Hiranyakashipu. Just the raising of his eyebrows, things would be done. He would just raise his eyebrows and people would tremble in fear. So this Hiranyakashipu, he thought that he is invincible. He is impenetrable. But when Lord Narasimhadev came and when he saw Lord Narasimhadev, it was the shock of his life. Because he had never imagined that somebody could be so powerful, somebody could be so mammoth in size, that when Lord Narasimhadev was playing with Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu seemed to be lost somewhere. And Lord Narasimhadev was looking, where has he gone during the combat? And he was stuck in one of the fingernails. Hiranyakashipu was stuck in one of the fingernails of Lord Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki. So, of course, so many examples of the incarnations of the Lord who had shown such prowess, such Herculean, you know, attributes, that when we talk about them, yes, as a servant we can proudly say, I am the servant of Lord Narasimhadev. I'm the servant of Giridhari who lifted Govardhan, the servant of, you know, Lord Ram, like that. But when we try to compete, then the situation becomes very bitter, like Hiranyakashipu along with Lord Narasimhadev. So this is when I went through the dictionary meaning of this, just the word master, so many things came up. Now, our life, as against trying to become the master, most of the time, our lives in this age of Kali Yuga is a life of slavery. And it is a very, very heavy word to be used. Slavery. How can you call me a slave? How can you say that I'm living a life of slavery? Sounds to be too arrogant. But privately, if we look into our own private chambers of the heart and ask our own heart and look into our lifestyle, it's something which we will really agree to the terms and even sign the contract of slavery, which we have already done, but we keep renewing it. Keep renewing the contract of our slavery. Like every time when we enjoy sense gratification, every time, whether it is gross or subtle, any kind of sense gratification which we try to enjoy, not in connection with Krishna, that particular act, what we are doing simultaneously, we are signing a contract by material energy that I sign. We sign actually the papers, another life I want, another birth, old age, disease and death, another set of these four things. I sign the contract. Because, as it is said, there are no free lunches in this world. Maya Devi, she will offer the sense gratification, but when, as conditions apply, marketing in this material world is always conditions apply. So when Maya Devi presents any kind of sense gratification, she brings the contract. So you want the sense gratification, you want to drink liquor, you want to smoke, you want to eat meat, you want to engage in illicit activities, you want to do all of these things, here is the contract. Sign. What is the contract? Yes, I agree. Like, you know, when you buy a software, I agree. Hardly anyone reads all that license and everything. I agree. Come on, next, I agree. Finish. Software downloaded. But Maya's software is not very soft. It looks very soft. The contract is Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani Jathare Shayanam. Again and again and again. And sometimes the contract is such that one sense gratification which we really want from her includes not just one set of these four things, but many, many. Many, many. Like, you know, according to the laws of nature, somebody who is killing cows and eating cow, it is said that the number of hairs on the body of the cow, the person has to take birth so many times and get killed and slaughtered. And in the West, you know, the Jersey cows are more hairy. So, it's frightening. It's so frightening. Just like the word slavery is so frightening. If today, all of us sitting in this room, if we are told that from tomorrow onwards, you'll all have to live life of slavery. Something very frightening. So, let's try to delve into this a little more. The life of slavery. One is voluntary and the other is involuntary. So, let us have some realizations from our August assembly that what is the slavery which is voluntary and what is the slavery which is involuntary. willingly we become slaves, and sometimes unwillingly we have to become slaves.
First time someone tries out some bad habit, that is voluntary slavery. But if one gets into the habit of that, it becomes involuntary.
Yes, very good example. The first time someone starts smoking, by choice. It's by choice. Nobody is, at gunpoint smoke. Okay, nobody is making him smoke at gunpoint, or threatening that unless you smoke, you will be killed and something like that. At least Kali Yuga has not degraded to that extent as of now. And then subsequently, as the example of bad habits, or let's take the example of smoking, says that the first three puffs are free. Then you have to pay. Because then you become addicted. You are hooked up. Then you have to pay, not just pay monetarily, your health and so many other things, which compounds the problem more and more and more. So herein, anyone else? Okay. So herein, when we talk about voluntary, we are talking about the interiority of our life. And involuntary is the exteriority. Like for example, the external situations of this world is not in your control. How much will it rain? How hot the sun will be? Or people, reacting with you in a certain way. All the external things which you encounter in your life, they are involuntary. But internally, how you take it internally is your internal choice. There was a couple, and after their marriage, they went to Mexico, on a honeymoon. And over there, Mexico is famous for bulls and horses and all that. So they were on, separate horses, having a horse ride. And the wife, she was on the horse, and the horse started to gallop and threw her down. And she became upset. And she told to the horse, "This is your first time." Again, she mounted the horse. Again, the horse galloped. And the second time, the horse threw her down. And then she said, "This is your second time. You please mind your ride or your galloping." And the third time, again the horse threw her down. She pulled out a shotgun and the husband he shouted, "You psycho, you killed that horse." And she again pulled out the gun. "This is your first time." And then they happily lived thereafter. So, many times we have to just internally compromise that, okay, the external situations will not change. So coming back to the point of slavery now, okay. Now when we talk about slavery, the internal and the external. Now if, like say for example, nowadays you always find that the fashion trends, how they change. Like I guess in the 60s it was, you know, people used to have long hairs and bell bottoms. There was that era, bell bottoms. And then of course, then the fashion changed, and now of course you find, you know, spiky hair. You know, like. So what, and it's actually, it's a torturous thing, you know, they have to apply all those gels and everything, and it's like as if, you know, your hair is glued and somebody has, you know, spilt, you know, araldite on your head. And but they will undergo all of that hardships, you know. We talk about tapasya in our Krishna consciousness. You know, nobody is bereft of tapasya. They are also doing so much tapasya. I met one person in Bombay, and this person, you know, he didn't have, this whole thing was like, you know, like a helipad open. So, but I said, but I see so much hair over here. These are all artificial. And it was glued with some thick glue, that artificial hair was glued to this patch. And he had to pay something like 40,000 for that. I said, but it doesn't come out when you take bath. No, 40,000 bhara. So he had this problem that because of that glue, always his scalp would be having that urge to scratch, itch. You know, it would be always itching. So how do you do that? So he keeps up like a poker, something like that. Keeps poking like that. So much, you know, austerity. So the point over here is that people have become slaves to fashion, if you take like that. That somebody else, you know, somebody, some crazy guy sitting in Hollywood makes it hair like this, you know, or maybe because he had some electric current and the hair went up, that became a fashion. He was just about to be electrocuted and, you know, his hairs were standing on end. And that became the fashion, and now everyone, if you do not have that fashion, what is this? You know, simple hair. Coming to college like that, simple hair. No fashion, nothing. Imagine if in college nowadays, if students go with bell bottom, people will, hey, jangli janwar, kahan se aaye? So, people are adopting to lifestyles and fashion because they are becoming slave. If somebody is, you know, enslaving you to dress in a certain way, like Prabhupada's pastime is there. One reporter, lady reporter, comes to Prabhupada and she is asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, why do you shave your head? Prabhupada asks, why you shave your legs? Because she was wearing miniskirt. And simple logic, Prabhupada said, better to have a cool head and warm legs. You can think better. So, now, we find that, you know, the material situation in this world is that people are voluntarily accepting slavery. Dressing up in a certain way, living a lifestyle in a certain way, talking in a certain way, eating in a certain way. Unless you speak, eat, live American, you are not advanced. Which means becoming slaves. And we celebrate 15th August Independence Day. So, these are all like somebody is enslaving us to live a certain lifestyle. Now, that person, if you know, you point out that this person has enslaved you with his fashion, with his lifestyle, then you become very much alarmed and you become very much intimidated that this person is enslaving me. How dare? But yes, imperceptibly he is. The entire civilization, the Western civilization, is doing the same thing, enslaving us. Now go further. If somebody is enslaving your mind, is dictating not just what you wear but what you think also. Now that's real slavery. If somebody can intrude into my interiority and can enslave me, my inner self, that's dangerous. That's something which is brutal. So, when we live a bodily concept of life, a materialistic lifestyle, we are not just physically announcing our slavery, but even mentally, that this is what is my thought process. So yes, when we talk about Krishna as our worthy master, somebody will ask, why have you dressed up like this? Why have you shaven your head? Are you not also a slave of someone? Yes. I can proudly say, I am a slave, but I am a slave of a worthy master. I am not slave of someone who is unworthy of my slavery. That is the difference. So herein, when we talk about slavery, we don't have any choice. We have to accept the life of slavery or servitude or being a servant or whatever, having a master. We have to pick up. What is that? Krishna, Bhuliya Jiva Bhogavan Chakare, Nikatstha Maya Tara, Jhapatiya Dare. Both are Nikat. The Krishna factor and the Maya factor. Both are next to the Jiva. And the Jiva has to choose, to pick which one, Krishna or this material energy. So, herein, we have a choice of our interiority which will decide that how we can avoid the exteriority of the afflictions given by this material nature. It's an interesting anecdote. Life of a 1 rupee note. Since, you know, we're talking about coming over here in this material world trying to become masters. This is what? Trying to become masters in this material world. So one time a 1 rupee note was having a conversation with a 1,000 rupee note. So a 1 rupee note was crying, looking at the 1,000 rupee note, because the 1,000 rupee note was more valued, more worshipped, more regarded and kept more safely than the poor 1 rupee note. So the 1 rupee note went to God that, my dear Lord, why have you made me 1 rupee? Nobody even cares for me so much nowadays. And look at the 1,000 rupee note, the royal regal treatment which the 1,000 rupee note gets, as against me, 1 rupee. So God replied very wonderfully to the 1 rupee. Said, let's see, what is the life of a 1,000 rupee note? And what is your life? If you look into the life of a 1,000 rupee note, a 1,000 rupee note is always in the wallet of big, big people. And where this 1,000 rupee note gets circulated? In all nefarious things. Casinos, liquor bars, you know, brothels and all these places. And because you are just a 1 rupee note, you will find always yourself in donation box of temples. You will always be close to me. Because hardly people put 1,000 rupee in a donation box. So, 1 rupee note is always circulated in temples donation box. So, always you are having a spiritual atmosphere around you, a divine atmosphere, divine association, and because you are always in one, in a donation box of a temple, you are always used in my service by the temple authorities. But that rascal 1000, look whose service that 1000 is doing. All kinds of sinful activities going on. Because what sinful activity one can perform using 1 rupee note? So God said very nicely to this 1 rupee note, said, according to me, you are a masterpiece. Since our topic is our real worthy master. But then God further cleared it up, you are master's piece. You are my piece. I am the master and you are my piece. Which means when we voluntarily become our master's piece, then we can become a masterpiece. Like, you know, masterpiece of art is rewarded. So like that. So even though we might be insignificant like a 1 rupee note, but in Lord's eyes, He can make the most insignificant into the most significant. And yes, we can, once we get connected with the most significant master, that is Krishna. Now, that doesn't mean that you keep putting 1 rupee note. If you want, you can put 1000 also. So, we'll take up now the famous Gajendra's prayer, in which Gajendra, this elephant devotee of Krishna, is announcing to everyone, to all of us sadhakas, and giving us hope that all of us who are worshipping Krishna, don't lose hope. All of you sadhakas, don't lose hope, Gajendra is saying. Because I have known that the only one who can save you at the time of your crisis is Krishna. And He is not just theoretically speaking. He is not just sentimentally praying. Gajendra, in this one prayer, he is analyzing so many qualities of Krishna as being the only worthy master. Madra prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namo lalaya swamshena sarvatanu bhrin manasi pratita pratyak drishe bhagavate brihate namaste. We know the story. Gajendra was caught by that crocodile. And this episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 8th canto, is so instructive and so inspiring and so revealing and so practical for us also in this age of Kali Yuga. We who have been devoured by the crocodile of this material energy. The jaws, one time Radhanath Maharaj, he was speaking the story of Gajendra, and a very wonderful insight he came up with. And like, you know, he many times elaborates the sequences of the episode. So the sequence of this episode of Gajendra, in which Gajendra is now being caught by the jaws, the cruel jaws of that crocodile. And Gajendra is fighting for so many thousands of years. So Maharaj was saying, similarly, the afflictions given by material energy in this world, in Kali Yuga, it's like the jaws of this crocodile. And he said, we are all within the jaws of the crocodile of Kali Yuga. For some of us, we are sitting on the sharp, you know, the sharp tooth of the crocodile. And we feel the pain. And some of us, we are in between the two sharp teeth. So we find, I am not so much troubled as the one who is now sitting on the sharp edge. So sometimes we feel, you know, I am having a very, very healthy, successful lifestyle going on. So we are like that, we are inside, we are still inside the jaws. But inside the jaws, we are having a little some, you know, our corner, safe, you know, comfort corner, thinking that my 50, 60 years are secured. You know, I have got a good job, I have got, you know, a good degree, I have got a secured house, you know, everything is secured. So that's like, you know, our cozy corner, but within the jaws of the crocodile. So that is our situation. So it's like, you know, imagine if somebody is having a party within the jaws of a crocodile. And it's just a matter of time when the crocodile has to close the jaws. End of show. And no caption will come, thereafter they had a happy life. No. So here in Gajendra, he sought help from his own family members. He himself was trying his level best to fight with that. He was Gajendra, not just some ordinary elephant. He was the Indra of all the gajas, of all the elephants. He was himself so competent, but still he couldn't, because he was in troubled waters. You know, in English there is a saying, troubled waters. That was not his domain. That was not his area. Because elephants are supposed to live on land. So similarly, we living entities, we are supposed to live in the spiritual world. This is not our domain, this material world. So what do we expect? We expect only crocodiles. On just on the surface level, there is a superficial veneer that the water is very clean and cool and for our enjoyment. Just beneath that superficial veneer are the deadly crocodiles of this material world. So Gajendra, in that helpless condition, he finally remembers from his previous life what devotional service he had rendered as Maharaj Indradumna unto Lord Krishna. And he starts offering prayers. And this one prayer which we have chosen for our discussion tonight is very, very pertinent for us to understand, we sadhakas, that why we should consider Krishna as our worthy master. Yes, if somebody is asking, why you go to Hare Krishna temple, why you chant Hare Krishna, why have you surrendered your life to Krishna, why only Krishna, especially this season, why only Krishna? So this is one of the answers. Why we have chosen Krishna as our worthy master, why we have accepted slavery for someone like Krishna. So he's saying, he's giving six qualities of Krishna being perfect master. He says, Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Alayaya Pratyak Drishe Bhagavate and Brihate. He says, my dear Krishna, you are supremely free, you are supremely merciful, you are not lazy at all, you are supremely eager to always deliver your devotees. You are all-knowing, all-powerful and all-pervading. Now when we surrender unto anyone or take up a boss in our life, we look that the boss should have some qualities. If, you know, somebody is becoming an employee of, you know, Ambani's, you know, Reliance or Birla's or Tata's. Why? Because these people have some qualities. They have some credibility. So here is the credibility of Krishna, that these are the qualities. He is saying that only you can free me, my dear Krishna, because you are supremely free. So this is the first and the foremost quality of someone who is a perfect master. He should be supremely free, perfectly free. Like Krishna, he exhibited his quality of being supremely free, Muktaya, in Damodar Leela. That he is bound to the wooden grinding motor and he is freeing the twin Arjuna trees, Nalkora and Manigiri. He is giving them liberation whilst he is bound. So therefore he is called Mukunda, one who is the awarder of liberation, supreme liberation. So here is Krishna, who is supremely free. Therefore he is the worthy master who can free us from our bondage. Somebody might be free, but if he doesn't have mercy in his heart, why would he free the other person? Why would he free the dependent or the servant or the devotee? So therefore Krishna, who is not just supremely free, but who is Bhuri Karunai, whose heart is full of mercy. And we have the example of Putana, that Kamva Dayalum Sharanam Vrajema. Shukadeva Goswami became attracted looking at this beautiful, merciful quality of Krishna, that he gave the position of mother to Putana in the spiritual world. Supremely eager. Laya means laziness, and Alayaya, which means one who is not lazy at all. Many times we find bosses and masters of this material world lazing out and, you know, having a gala time in their own, you know, domain, wherein the servants, we were discussing on Radhashtami, that in this material world, master's enjoyment is servant's exploitation. But Radha and Krishna, this divine couple, are such that for us, their enjoyment is our nourishment. The more we discuss about the, you know, wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the more it nourishes us. Bhaktira portion, it is said. And the Lord is always active. Always active. In fact, in the same Gajendra's episode, it is mentioned that before even Gajendra could finish the chanting of the names of Krishna, Krishna reached to protect. That was how fast and swift, as Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna, he says that, I am the swift deliverer of a surrendered soul unto me. So the eagerness which Krishna has. You know, one time Prabhupada was asked about the Paramatma who is sitting in our heart. So, you know, at that time disciples would ask Srila Prabhupada all kinds of sometimes silly questions also. So they asked Prabhupada, is this Paramatma sitting or standing inside, you know? And Prabhupada said, Paramatma is always standing. Not just standing, Prabhupada said, he is standing with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma ready. Ready for us, standing. Since when? Since time immemorial, since the time we left him. And when did we leave him? Since time immemorial, beyond our memory, millions and billions and zillions of yugas before we have left him, the spiritual world. And he has come, he has been standing all that while. Whenever we are asleep or we are in any species, he is standing with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma ready. Ready to protect us, ready to inspire us to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the eagerness. Who could be such a boss? Why not surrender and give our lives to such a boss who is so eager to deliver us from this tabernacle? Then, he is not just supremely eager, he is also all-knowing. Sudama Brahman, when he came to Krishna, he didn't reveal his desire, but Krishna, he came to know what is there in the heart of Sudama. And without Sudama revealing it, Krishna, who is Pratyak Drishe, he knew it and he awarded Sudama. And there are so many cases wherein Krishna, who is a Paramatma, he knows our every single desire. Imagine, we didn't just reject him in the spiritual world, but we coming in this material world have been rejecting him every single lifetime, every single species, trying to go more farther away from him in this material world. Rather than realizing our mistake and coming closer, conditioned living entity is going farther away. And the Lord is so merciful that He is following behind us. And conditioned living entity criticizes. He doesn't exist. Criticizes that why this God is doing all these things to me. I don't need any God in my life. I don't need Krishna in my life. So herein, Krishna, who knows who all of these, you know, nefarious activities which we have done against Him, but He still is expecting. He's a perfect example of someone who is extremely to the highest degree being optimistic. He's still optimistic that one day, this bad son of mine will come to the senses and turn to me. He has so much hope for us, in us. So that is he being pratyak drishe. He's simultaneously has the power also. Not just that he has a merciful heart, not just he's all knowing, he's also all powerful. He has all the power to take us from this material world to the spiritual world and, you know, award us the supreme abode of His own. Then He is also all pervading. Wherever the conditioned living entity goes, in the Purana it is mentioned that Krishna incarnates in every species, not just in our human species. It is explained that Krishna has even incarnated in the mosquito species to help the mosquitoes to come to Agyat Sukriti and to Krishna consciousness. He has come as Matsya, Kurma. Now, of all the species, these are all most lowly species. You know, aquatics are the most lowly species. Tortoise, a turtle, and, you know, a boar of all species. He became a boar, that too a wild boar, Varaha. So he has taken up these forms, half man, half lion, you know. Nothing is complete, all incomplete in him. But he has taken all these forms just so that he can inspire us to come to the right path and surrender unto him and accept him as the worthy master. So these are the six qualities which Gajendra is enumerating and giving to us, yes, to fortify our faith in our worthy master Krishna. Herein we have Krishna, his three divine S. He is called Sabal, Saral, and Sajal. It's very interesting. Krishna is called Sabala, he is full of strength. Sarala means full of simplicity. And Sajala means full of sentiments. He is not a master who is, you know, mechanically trying to reward us. Like herein, let's take the first one. He is called Sabala, Govardhan Leela. Krishna exhibited his bala, his full strength to reciprocate and protect the Brajavasis when they were attacked by the clouds of devastation, the rains of devastation. When they were attacked by that, Krishna, he exhibited his full strength, that quality that, yes, I am your master and I am full of strength to protect you. He is also simultaneously somebody who is very powerful. It's very difficult to be simple simultaneously. But Krishna is simultaneously saral. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, just one leaf, flower, fruit. Sudama, you didn't even offer that. Krishna snatched. Krishna was bathing, washing the feet of Sudama. And at what time? Not when he was, you know, a cowherd boy in Vrindavan when he was Dwarkadhish in Dwarka. Amidst all of that opulences, having Rukmini, the goddess of fortune, serving him, Krishna, his simplicity, his saralta, is he's washing the feet of Sudama. He's, you know, eating that broken chipped rice, snatching it from the torn, tattered cloth of Sudama. That's his saralata. And sajal, full of sentiments. He is a master who is full of sentiments. Even if we can't do anything, it is said, we can't physically worship this worthy master, we can't even attempt to surrender our lives unto him like the other great stalwart devotees have done. If we just have a sincere sentiment, Krishna, he is a sentient God. He's a sentient God. In fact, the episode of Draupadi, when Draupadi, she was attempted to be disrobed by Dushyasan. And at the end, when Draupadi started to cry, Krishna immediately came over there. Because it is said that Krishna, he walks on the path of tears to protect his devotees. Ashrupatha. It's called Ashrupath. So the Ashrupath of Draupadi, Krishna walked on the Ashrupath of Draupadi and protected Draupadi. In fact, it's also mentioned that Draupadi also had done, one time Krishna was, you know, cutting an apple and by mistake his finger got cut. And Draupadi immediately, she tore part of her, you know, outer cloth and a band, you know, bandaged it. And Krishna, full of sentiments, he said that I am definitely going to repay you for this. And the way Krishna repaid, it's something which is, you know, an all-time episode of Draupadi, where Draupadi is glorified, protector of, you know, Krishna, who is a protector of Draupadi. So he's full of sentiments. He just requires our good heart, that bhakti which he's asking for. So when we understand these divine qualities of Krishna, we definitely gather more faith and strengthen our existing faith that yes, the more I should be surrendering to this person who is full of these great divine qualities. A lesson from Ramayana, we have Lord Ram who made allies with Sugriva. And Sugriva, he said to Lord Ram that we both are in a similar condition. Your wife has been kidnapped and even my wife has been kidnapped by my brother Vali. So let's have a pact. Sugriva said that you know, if you say that you are Dasharath Nandan and you are that, you know, Naradeva, so you help me get my wife back by killing Vali. So Lord Ram said, okay, you go, you challenge Vali and I'll be there and I'll do the needful from behind the tree. So on the word of Lord Ram, we all know Sugri went and he started shouting, you know, where Vali is, in front of Vali's abode, he started shouting. And when he started shouting at Vali that, you know, henpecked husband, you womanizer, come out if you have any strength, fight with me. And when Vali heard Sugriv, after so many years, finally this Sugriv, iski itni himmat, is prakar se chilla raha mere upar. So, the wife of Vali, she told Vali that dal mein kala hai. How come Sugriv all of a sudden has got so much courage to challenge you with, you know, this kind of a language and tone? I feel there is something fishy over here. एंड व्हाट फिशी दैट सुग्रीव, एक उसको बाएं हाथ का खेल, उसको तभी मारता हूं. सो वाली गोज आउट एंड वी नो दैट द फर्स्ट टाइम लॉर्ड राम इज नॉट एबल टू रिकग्नाइज बिकॉज बोथ आर लाइक लुक अलाइक्स. सो ही इज नॉट एबल टू रिकग्नाइज हु इज हु. एंड देन ऑफकोर्स इवेंचुअली लॉर्ड राम किल्स वाली. द लेसन ओवर हियर इज दैट we have our mighty mind full of anarthas and we have the tiny soul who is Sugriva, and the only hope for this tiny soul to shout at the mighty mind when we chant Hare Krishna, that you rascal mind, you shut up. And the mighty mind is full of all the anarthas loaded by us only. So just like Sugriv had all the strength to shout at Vali because he knew that Lord Ram is somewhere round the corner and he is the one who is going to help me out. So what is our hope also? You know, our hope, many times, you know, like we have seen, like in India it happens, you know, like the other day I was coming for a program and just one particular house outside of a temple, they have like a skinny weakling, you know, a dog outside. And so I was just waiting for the gates to be opened and the dog, you know, was looking at me and he wanted to bark at me. So he wanted to bark, but you know, he was like, he was a little afraid. Sometimes, you know, dogs are like that. He was afraid, you know, a little bit. You know, like a little bit, and he would go inside. Then he would come and go again. And then, you know, because he was a little bit doing, then the master of the house came. And the master of the house came, started barking like anything on me. So I was just remembering the same example that we are also like, you know, skinny weakling dog, you know, we also, we bark at our mind. And sometimes we don't see Krishna around and, you know, devotees around, we are very afraid, we go back again into the temple. But when we see devotees are there, you know, Krishna is there with me, and then we start barking like anything, hell on that mighty mind. So this is a lesson from this one episode of Ramayana, that, you know, Sugriv, although at that point of time he had not 100% surrendered to Lord Ram like Hanumanji, but still he considered that he is a competent master to protect me even if I go and challenge. So, you know, therefore Krishna and Prabhupada, he said, go and preach. And preach first to your mind. And yes, like, you know, always that slogan I read in Maharashtra, Mi Tujha Patishi. You know, like that, the same episode. Lord Ram is saying. But the question is, how much faith? Like Sugri, first time, he felt that he was cheated by Lord Ram. He said, you know, on your pretext, on your assurance, I went and I was shouting and, you know, he was beating me black and blue, and where were you? And after all that, Lord Ram tells Sugriv, go back again. Go again. So the faith of Sugriv in Lord Ram was so much that after being beaten black and blue by Vali, Sugriv went back again. So yes, this mighty mind will initially beat us up like anything, just like Sugriv was beaten up. But Lord Ram is testing. Lord Ram is testing. And we have to keep the fight on, having the faith that the only hope which we have is of Lord Ram. So, I made this particular word master into an acronym. A worthy master is one who has to be merciful, accessible, selfless. He should be acting like a teacher, equal, and also rewarding. When it comes to being merciful, of course, always the shining example is of Putana, how merciful Krishna was to Putana. Accessible. The example, Krishna being accessible for Parikshit Maharaj. Now for Parikshit Maharaj, who was in the womb of his mother, and Brahmastra is now on its way to kill Parikshit. And you know, who could be more helpless than an embryo to protect itself? Who could be more helpless in a situation? So look at the helpless situation of Parikshit. And the only person Parikshit could access was Krishna. Not even his own mother. The shelter, physical shelter which he was getting of the womb of his mother was not good enough to protect him from the Brahmastra. So at that time, Krishna, he manifested within the womb of Uttara, and Krishna in his four-handed form, he appeared, and actually Parikshit was dead. Krishna revived him back. So this is a classic example of how accessible Krishna is. That the same, because Krishna is seated in everyone's heart. Even if, like Gajendra, the family members were so close to him, but the only person who could help Gajendra was Krishna. So the only person who is the closest to the soul is the super soul, the Paramatma. And therefore, we should always know that he is the most accessible, selfless. A master has to be selfless. Krishna was ready to take all the blame on himself. He was ready to become the bad guy to protect his devotees. So many instances we'll be discussing wherein Krishna has expressed his being selfless to protect his own devotees. How Krishna acted like a teacher, Lord Ram, his example. That he was ready to banish, not just ready, but he banished his own wife. Just to set an example as an ideal king, that this is what the ideal example has to be of a king, that he banished his own wife Sita. And of course, the Supreme Lord is Sammoham Sarva Bhuteshu. He is equal, whether somebody is acting like a demon, Hiranyakashipu, or whether somebody is like Prahlad. Lord Narasimhadev was equally merciful to Hiranyakashipu as well, and of course to Prahlad. And of course, how he rewards his devotees. Just another example, in case of Putana, what kind of reward he gave to this Putana who came to kill Krishna, made her the position of his own mother, that too not in Vaikuntha, in Golok Vrindavan it is said. In Golok Vrindavan, such a rare planet, that was a planet which Putana was rewarded with. So therefore, Krishna, who fulfills all of these qualities, and therefore he has to be our worthy master. And of course, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, who has promised, Kaunteya prati janihi name bhakta pranashyati, he was ready to break his own vow, and he lifted the chariot wheel to protect his own devotee Arjun and to reciprocate with Bhishma also. Both are devotees now. Arjun is also devotee, Bhishma is also devotee. Bhishma wanted that Krishna should lift a weapon and should reciprocate with me in that mood of chivalry. So Krishna wanted to reciprocate with Bhishma and also protect Arjun. So can we imagine the dilemma Krishna sometimes has to be in? Pleasing Arjun and Bhishma both simultaneously, and so many millions and millions of these kind of pairs in this material world. So, the five types of protection offered by Krishna: Ajnana Raksha, Triti Raksha, Anartha Raksha, Vyasana Raksha, and Shatru Raksha. Why we should make Krishna as our only master? Because if we want protection from ignorance, from our imperfections, thriti, from our anarthas, from our bad habits, and from all kinds of enemies outside and inside of us, Krishna is the one who can give us all of that. In case of Agyan Raksha, Krishna, he gave all the knowledge to Dhruva Maharaj to offer those relevant prayers and to ultimately rule, you know, the Dhruva Loka for 36,000 years on behalf of Krishna. So, he did this Agyan Raksha for Dhruva. Bali Maharaj, there was a triti, apparent triti, and that shloka in the episode of Bali Maharaj comes, mantratas tantratas chidram nischidram, which means all of, you know, if there is any triti in the chanting of the mantra or performance of the yajna or any other ritualistic things, by chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Bali Maharaj, he had promised that he will give 3 steps of land. In fact, tomorrow is Vaman Dev's appearance day, I guess. Day after, okay. So it's coming. So how Lord Vaman Dev protected Bali Maharaj from the triti? Protected in such a way that he gave Bali Maharaj the Sutala planet, which was more opulent than the existing planet which he was ruling. And the raksha was such given by Lord Vaman Dev that one time Lakshmi Devi approached Bali Maharaj with folded hands and told to Bali Maharaj that I have only one request. See, you have taken my husband. Vaman Dev became the doorkeeper, like a watchman at, you know, the palace of Bali Maharaj in Sutala Loka. So Lakshmi Devi is praying to Bali Maharaj that you, at least, there is only one request I have, that whenever you come out of your palace, you decide which door you are going to come out. Because there were so many doors of the palace of Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj would randomly come out of any door, and Vaman Dev, within fraction of a split second, he would go and be at that door where Bali Maharaj would be coming out, just to see to it that he is doing his duty properly for his own devotee Bali Maharaj. So that was the raksha, and the, we're talking about eagerness also. That was the eagerness which the Lord had to protect and serve his own devotee Bali Maharaj. Then, as far as anartha raksha, in the Govardhan Leela we have Govardhan Dhari Sri Krishna, who protected the false ego. Protected means relieved Indra from his false ego. He was thinking that he is a controller, and by lifting the Govardhan hill, Indra comes folded hands, completely humbled, and that's how Krishna protected the anartha of false ego of Indra. We have Nalkuvar and Manigreev, and they were purified completely of their bad habits and their sinful tendencies. And these two sons of Kubera, when they were delivered by Damodar, they went back to their own abodes, becoming a pure devotee and constantly chanting and hearing the pastimes of Krishna. And ultimately, we have Draupadi, who was protected by Krishna. As far as the Shatru Raksha is concerned, we have Gajendra also. Example of these two wonderful devotees who were protected physically by Krishna. So, when we look about in Krishna's attributes, that how he protects his devotees, in a subtle manner, as far as in a gross manner, physically as far as in their mental state and intellectual state as well. So when we talk about Krishna's promise, to conclude with, we have the example of Hanumanji. In Ramayana it's mentioned that when Hanumanji leaped across the ocean, 100 yojanas, when he was flying, jumping across the ocean, Hanumanji was shouting, I can do it, I can do it. Now this sounded, you know, a little kind of proud. That how come Hanumanji is such a humble devotee that he is saying that only I can do it. So when Hanumanji was asked that, you know, how can, you know, it's like a boastful statement that I can do it. We don't find devotees in this kind of a tone. So Hanumanji is saying, gives a wonderful answer. He says that I am Lord Ram's arrow. So I am like an arrow. When the arrow leaves the bow, the dhanusha, you see the arrow hitting the target. But the arrow cannot take credit. Why? Because the arrow has been shot by the bow. And it is the strength and the power of the bow which makes the arrow go and hit the bullseye, the target. So I am just an arrow and not just an ordinary arrow of an ordinary bowman. I am Lord Ram's arrow, and any arrow which Lord Ram shoots has to reach the target. So therefore I have this confidence that Ram's promise is there. Sakrat eva prapanno yastavasmi iti yachate abhayam tu sarvada tasmai dadamyetad vritam mama. Lord Ram says, anyone who has surrendered unto me and says even once that I am yours, Lord Ram gives all protection. Lord Ram gives all mercy. So Hanumanji is saying that I am the arrow shot by Lord Ram, and Lord Ram, he is perfect, and every shot made by Lord Ram and his bow has to reach the target and accomplish the task. So this was the lesson given by Hanumanji and his confidence in his service unto Lord Ram. So following the footsteps of these great stalwart devotees like Hanumanji and others, if we also become just an instrument like an arrow, one of the arrows in the quiver of Lord Ram, one of the arrows in the quiver of Lord Ram, and just remain in the quiver of Lord Ram, one day Lord Ram will also take out us in the form of that arrow and will use to get back the bhakti of not just our own, which has been lost in the form of Sita, but also the lost bhakti for all the conditioned living entities of this age of Kali Yuga. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions anyone has? There is a good news. Tomorrow we'll be having a